Howdy, and welcome to the Ears Podcast, produced by Terrier TV. We are joined again today by Mr. Andy. Thank you, Andy, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Mr. Curtis, Cindy, thank you all.
Thanks for having us back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, has anything exciting happened since last time I saw you all?
It's been a while.
It has. It's been a super long amount of time. What's happening with you, Andy?
I was just telling Miss Cindy I got to talk to Mrs. Wolford again. And she told me her side of the story about seeing Cindy not too long ago.
Which was Cindy's first grade teacher?
Kindergarten teacher.
She remembered her right away. So shout out to Miss Cindy from Miss Wolford.
That makes my heart so happy.
I'm jealous. She listens to this podcast, by the way.
So. Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome.
How cool is that? Small world. Small world. Well, let's jump on to what we're here to do today. We are joined on the phone by a... Man, how many superlatives can I throw out to one person? Let me see what I can do. A super talented, very humble, amazing athlete, and man, he's just a great guy. We're joined by Mr. Frank Schwindel. Frank, thank you for being here.
No problem. I appreciate the introduction, the kind words.
Yes, sir. Very, very well deserved. Tell us what you're up to, buddy. What's going on? You're in Jersey right now?
Yeah, I'm in Jersey. There's a little ice storm, so it's probably 30 degrees right now. And just staying ready for spring training, whenever that may be.
Yeah, what's the story with that currently? Have they told you guys anything?
Just crazy. We're at a sit and wait, and let the Players Association and the owners figure it out, and then when they say the word, we get out there.
There you go. So for those who don't know, this kind of happened. The first conversation me and you had was about, you know, you come from a family of Franks. I come from a family of Franks. What my dad, my brother, my great-grandfather, they're all Franks. You have a whole family of Franks behind you, too, correct?
Oh, yeah. I would be the fourth, and my son, that he's just turned one, he would be the fifth. But we have different middle names, and then my father-in-law is Frank as well. So
wow.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so your house is a lot like mine when everybody gets together. Somebody says Frank, everybody flinches real hard, don't they?
Oh yeah, family barbecues are very confusing.
That's hilarious. Yep. So I saw a video on Instagram. I saw two that were that made me chuckle. One was of your dad handing out T-shirts at the beach.
Oh, my father-in-law.
Was that your father-in-law? Yeah, that cracked me up.
He owns a printing company, so he likes to make his own stuff and make sure everybody's repping Frank the Tank.
Wow, how cool is that? And then another one I saw that was pretty good was your son already swinging a baseball bat and trying to take out his mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. He just started walking a couple weeks ago, so we had to get a bat in his hand as soon as possible. He's swinging the golf club a little bit and swinging the baseball bat and having a good time.
Yeah, it's following over, isn't it?
Trying.
So tell us a little bit about the journey of your career, buddy. It's we were just talking before the show that it's legitimately worthy of a Disney movie, the way it's kind of all came together for you. And like I told you the first time I met you, it's for those of us who, you know, don't even need to be a sports fan, it's so far beyond that to see somebody that has went for this amount of time and had the fortitude to keep going with it all and then be blessed enough to have it all come together for them. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head right there. It was definitely not an easy road. I got drafted out of St. John's University in the 18th round by the Royals. Was in the minors from 2013 to 2019. A bunch of good years there, and, you know, never really got a chance. And then finally made it up in 2019 with the Royals opening day, and then got sent down 2 weeks later. So limited time up there, ended up getting released, and then signed with the Tigers, no big league time, signed with the A's in 2021. Same thing. I was up for 2 weeks in the big leagues and then released right away. So, definitely not easy. And finally, the Cubs took a shot on me. Was in AAA for a week, didn't play well, got called up to the Cubs, and the rest is history.
And it's an amazing story where it's at even now. I'm excited to see where it's going. What gave you the fortitude to keep going through all that? What was your biggest encouragement to keep you going?
I couldn't have done it without my family. Not only just financially helping me out, but they just always believed in me, and my wife's family just as much. They said, you can hit, and you work just as hard as anybody else, if not harder. we got your back. Just keep going. And as long as you want to keep playing, you know, keep working your ass off, we got your back, and just make something happen. And, yeah, like I said, I couldn't have done it without them. Just having them in my corner has been, a big part of my life, big part of my career.
That's pretty amazing. So what was that, it must have been pretty emotional when you first got that call to be called up, yeah?
Yeah, it was, my dad was the first one I called, and, he was obviously, lost a word, very proud of me. But, he was always tough on me, so he's like, now it's just the beginning, keep it going. And go from there, and then called my wife, and it was a special time, but then obviously short lived. So then, similar emotions when I went up for the second time, and then got sent right back down, and I'm like, oh man. And then
real roller coaster, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It's tough to put into words, but a lot of emotions, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears put into it, but all worth it.
So I have I'm joined here today by a fellow named Andy Hansen, who is the baseball coach, the high school baseball coach for the high school here we're at. And I wanted him to ask you a couple of questions, too.
Hey, awesome. Let's do it.
Hey, Frank, thanks for joining us today, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Man, listen, my parents are huge Cubs fans, all right? And my dad found out I was going to get to talk to you. So he wants to know, what is your favorite part, or what's so exciting about playing in Wrigley Field?
I think the fans. It's been it was a tough situation getting into, obviously losing a bunch of their favorite guys, but just the history of the fans, the history of Wrigley Field. They're, diehard Cubs fans, even through 100 years of tough times. But, kind of took them a week or two to warm up to me, and then they were just unbelievable. The support was, more than I could ever imagine, especially stepping up in a tough situation in a tough year, and not necessarily winning too many games, but right. I played well, and they seemed to like me, and they made me feel at home. So I'd say couldn't have done it without the fans.
Love hearing that. One of my players named Tim Wynn, he wants to know, what was the lowest point of your playing career, and then how did you overcome that?
I'd say getting released from the Royals after, I was three-time minor league player of the year for them.
Yeah.
And then just getting 14 at-bats in the big leagues or whatever it was. And, I got sent down. And I thought, like, maybe that was it for me. That was the, I got my little taste, and that was it. But then I went down to AAA and hit, 150 the next couple weeks before I got hurt. And then being on the DL or a little oblique strain. So, on the DL back at AAA after finally making it, that was probably the lowest time of my life.
Gotcha.
But, my wife was out there with me, and, she's like, this isn't the end. Encouraged me. We drove home together and signed with the Tigers a couple days later, and then tore it up the rest of the year in Double A and Triple A, rehabbing. So that was probably the toughest times, but I overcame it pretty quick, and tried to keep it going from there.
That's awesome. Love hearing that. I was looking at your highlights, Frank, the other day, and what I love is that in every highlight, you're the hype man, it seems like, on the team, but also your teammates love your energy, and I feel like what you bring to the table is just a ball of energy, and we're trying to instill that in our players. Do you really feel like having energy and hype and excitement, does that help you as a player? Does it help in the dugout?
Oh, absolutely. I think that changed my career. I went into this year just trying to have as much fun as possible. Obviously not like messing around, but, you got to realize it's a game, and it's a hard game. So any bit of success, there's nothing wrong with having a smile on your face and celebrating it with your teammates. So just try and have as much fun, get your work done, and, enjoy the game. And I think that was the biggest turning point of my career, is trying to have more fun with it.
So if I can ask you a question on Andy's behalf, which coaches influenced you the most as an amateur, and how? And also, what did you find were the best characteristics of an effective coach?
I think being upfront with them, being honest with them, and I had a couple of coaches that they believed in me, and they loved me as a person, stuff like that. But the coaches that really sat you down and say, you're a big league player. I don't care what anybody said in the past. Like, you can hit with the best of them, stuff like that. Just hearing the compliments from the coach, like, I feel like you don't hear them enough. They just expect you to show up and do your job. But, I had a couple sit-downs with my AAA manager in Las Vegas this past year, and he's just like, man, you're one of the better players I've had. Just, just keep the faith and keep going, and, you know, good things are going to happen. And it's just something you don't hear enough. Yeah. It's just like the compliments from the top level.
That encouragement's awesome, isn't it?
Absolutely. Just having, knowing somebody has your back and knowing, somebody believes in you rather than yourself, it goes a long way.
That's awesome. And Frank, baseball is such a repetitive game, right? You need so many reps to stay sharp. And we're trying to tell our high schoolers that even in the pros, no matter what level, you still have to do the basic fundamental warm-ups that people have been doing for literally 100 years. So is there a few that you don't mind sharing? Like, what are the basic ones that you still do to this day that keep you sharp and that help you stay on your game?
I start with T-work every day, okay. No matter, what session I'm in. I'll go T-work. Then I'll get into front flips, driving the ball the other way to start. Because if I'm a righty, if I can drive a line drive over the second baseman's head into that right center gap, I know the swing's got to be working good. Mm-hmm. Getting that good body posture, getting on time to hit that pitch the other way. And then second or third round, I'll just hit them hard up the middle, hard line drives, and then open it up from there, whether it's BP, machine work. But I have pretty much the same routine, starting with that T-work. Those next couple rounds going the other way, making sure the body's in a good position, and then, kind of go from there.
I love hearing everything you say, because that's what we're doing, and we keep telling our players that, but to hear it from you, Frank, that means a lot, man. And I love how you make it seem so easy, like, oh, I just hit line drives. Guys, he doesn't just hit line drives. This guy hits bombs,
off the barrel, too.
Exactly. Everything he does, he squares up, and he hits some Oppo Taco. This guy drops bombs, so he's being very humble.
He is, 100%.
That's great.
What kind of hobbies do you have in the off season? I was told to ask you that by Danny and Janice Atkinson, who are humongous Cubs fans, probably the biggest Cubs fans I know. It's kind of ridiculous how amazing they are about the fandom of the Cubs, and they were curious about that.
First, I like to travel. My wife likes to travel a lot, so we went down to the Dominican Republic for a bunch of times this year. Her family has a house at the beach. So we did a lot of trips with them this year so they could help with little Frankie. And, he has a blast, loves the beach, loves the sand. And then me personally, I like to golf. So I'll drop him off at daycare while my wife works. I'll get a workout in and hit the course a couple times a week.
There you go. Yeah, so before I met you the first time, we had already kind of exchanged pleasantries back and forth. I was at an event up there in Chicago. It was an event that Joel Murray and Betsy Shepard hold for first responders. It's a golf tournament they do every year. And so they have all these, these pretty well-known people there. And on this table of silent auction things is a bat that you signed. I watched these grown adults lose their mind about seeing a bat signed by you. I mean, these are people that, the influential people, and they see a bat by you and they're just freaking out, man. I'm not sure if you know how much reach you really have, but you really do. I think a lot of people are blessed by your story and kind of enjoy it. They're not having as much fun as you are, but it's close, I bet.
No, that's awesome to hear. Just, I think anybody can learn from my story. It's just to, have the faith and keep it going.
Who do you want to play you in the movie?
Oof, that's a good question. I don't know. We'll see how the rest of it ends first, and I'll go from there.
Frank can do it. This Frank right here, he can do it.
Yeah, he's got a much better beard than me.
He's got a nice beard. He's got a good swing too, Frank.
Oh,
I've seen him play softball. He's got it.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. It's not. There's no comparison there.
We'll work on it. Yeah, we'll get in the cages.
It's going to need more work than I can pull off at this time in my life, I think. So
there
was a time there where you hit a walk-off, and then you had the grand slam too. Tell us about the different emotions of both of those and which one you can't ask somebody which one they enjoyed more, but tell us about the different emotions behind those and what it felt like.
Well, let's say situation aside, I always like watching the ball go over the fence. So that's, I'd say the grand slam was nice in that regard. But I think the walk off on the slide into first was what kind of, opened a lot of people's eyes to me. It's just like, he could have just took the ground out and went into extra innings, but, he busted his ass and made something happen and fired everybody up, and we were on a 7-game win streak, and I don't know, that's kind of what, I think I got a lot more fans from that, and it was just a lot of fun.
Oh, people are definitely loving watching you play.
Yeah, for me, that was one of the first things that I watched when I looked you up on, you know, YouTube and stuff. Obviously, I watch baseball a lot, but I wanted to check out the highlights. That was the first one that popped up. So obviously, I'm not the only one who appreciates that. We have Miss Cindy here as well. And as someone who's not really a baseball fan, I think that's fair to say.
That's fair.
But maybe not. She doesn't know sports.
I just don't know much about it.
Well, I was going to ask you exactly, Frank the Tank. So at Wrigley Field, I've been there a couple times. There's tons of women at Wrigley Field watching baseball. What is the, you know, how can you explain this to Cindy? Why is baseball such a big deal at Wrigley Field?
I actually don't need him to explain why women like watching. I know that
baseball players are studs. I got you. Ask my wife; she knows that.
I've seen the pants. I get it.
Yeah, I heard that they take a liking to the pants.
They
that's
do.
For sure. But you know, it's just it's a ballpark on a street full of bars and not necessarily downtown, but in center of Chicago, and you know,
been
it's
outside
a great
of
family
Wrigley
environment.
Field.
Go out there and, you know, enjoy a ball game with your friends and family, and it's tough to beat.
Frank, my wife's aunt Darlene and uncle Jim, they live 8 blocks from Wrigley Field, so we went to Chicago. Walk to the stadium. There's no better way to get to the game, by the way, than walking.
That's true.
Past exactly what you were saying. So big shout out to Aunt Darlene and Uncle Jim. They're huge Cubs fan, but they do the whole thing, Frank. They go to Arizona to do spring training, and then they go to Chicago for the season. So you talk about diehard Cubs fans.
That's love to hear that. Yeah, I walk to the game sometimes. I was bouncing around from a couple hotels. I took the divvy bike to a couple of games. I walked to a couple of games, and it was a lot of fun.
At what point did people start attacking you?
Right.
I'd say right after the walk off the grand slam that weekend. That's when it became I could, you know, walk in any place and nobody know who I was. I couldn't walk anywhere without anybody knowing. So
it was a giant selfie machine, wasn't it?
It was crazy. Yeah.
What's it been like adjusting to that?
No, it's been awesome. It was I was lucky enough to have a bunch of my buddies out there with me, and they were enjoying it just as much as I was. You know, they were enjoying the free drinks and you know, free meal here and there, stuff like that. But it was wild, but it was a lot of fun.
So, growing up, what were the biggest influences to your to your game and to your life as you were coming up?
I was lucky to have a lot of good coaches, but I couldn't have done anything without my dad. He always pushed me. He saw I was talented at a young age, so he made sure I was, you know, practicing. He'd take me to the field after school. You know, we had a nice little quiet street, so we'd throw in the street, throw in the backyard, whatever. But, I couldn't have done it without him. And I think making it was probably one of the best days for both of us.
That's awesome. So what is – yeah, I can't even imagine, you know. I can't even put that – Not that's what's pretty cool about it. Most people will never understand what that feels like, and yeah, it's something special you guys have together. So it's one more of those. You know, that's grace at its finest.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the daily routine of a Major League Baseball player? What in the world goes on a normal day before
off season
a game?
Or in season?
Both. Give me an example of both.
A quick one in the off season would be. Wake up, eat breakfast, get my son ready for daycare. most days out of the week will be a workout with my trainer, and then I have a hitting coach back here. So I got luckily they're less than a half mile away from each other. So I'll go to the gym with my trainer, go to the cages, and then the rest of the day just hang out.
And then on a day when I'm not
working out, it'll be a golf day or pick my son up early and hang with him.
There you go. What's it like on a game day?
Game day, if it's a night game, sleep in, play some video games in the morning, head over to the field around 12, 1 for lunch. And then it's, you know, either workout, stretch, BP, game. And then those famous day games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Wrigley, those are quick turnarounds. So, you know, wake up at 8:30 and head right to the field.
What kind of video games does a world famous baseball player play? This is the
now
stuff
got into
I need
Cindy
to hear
stuff.
About.
There we go.
Oh no, I played a lot of Call of Duty this year.
I knew it.
Yes,
it's a good way to stay in touch with all my buddies back home and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can't ever go wrong with Call of Duty.
Yep, absolutely.
Classic.
Frank, who's your favorite teammate? Can we give a shout out to your favorite teammate?
I would say Alec Mills. He was drafted by Kansas City as well, so I've known him forever.
Yeah.
Just an awesome dude, great pitcher, awesome family, very nice wife. His son is going to be friends with my son, so it's he's a great guy to play behind.
I love that. You've mentioned golf a couple times already, Frank. So let's make this happen. When you're in Florida, let's hook up for some golf, or Frank and I come up to Chicago. Because I already told him last time I'm hiding in a suitcase when he comes up.
I'll be up there next week. I told him next week he'd come up with me, but he couldn't talk himself into it.
It's not a no.
Oh, man, I was just down in your neck of the woods in Stream Song Resort, but I was down for a day and a half and then had to go.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful weather down there, beautiful resort.
It'd be great to play a game with you for sure. So something I have noticed about first basemen in general at Major League Baseball games, they seem to be a mix between a comedian and a greeter mm-hmm. of people at first base. How in the world does that? Yeah. What is that, like an unspoken thing? How does that work?
Well, it helps pass the time, that's for sure. Though sometimes those innings can get long, but it's always nice having a conversation with somebody during the inning. You know, a lot of nice guys in the game. So yeah, it's just fun to just kind of BS a little with them over there, and sometimes good conversation makes the innings go quick, and I like to hit, so mm-hmm. it's the best thing to get back in that dugout and grab a bat.
There you go.
Where do you see yourself in the lineup this year?
Hopefully sticking that two hole.
Okay.
It treated me well, so get on base and let the other guys drive me in, and then drive in whoever leading off and whoever's hitting nine. So I can live with that.
Love it.
You have a preference between hitting day or night?
Mm.
Ooh, that's a good question. I used to love hitting during the day, and then the splits weren't as good, but then I love those Wrigley day games. So I'm going to have to say I still like the day games better.
And so before in your AAA career, they traditionally put you up against lefties, are they not?
Yeah, I always hit better off of lefties, but then this year kind of bounced out. So that was good, but a little more a liking to lefties, and I did a bunch of damage off them. So
what
I'll
do you
take
think,
whatever can keep me in this game long enough.
There
to,
you go.
You know, keep it going.
What do you think has given you that talent to hit both left and right? And you've obviously got the thing where the whole field's open to you, where a lot of players it's not. It's very refreshing to me to watch that, to see a player that can hit all over the field anytime he wants to.
Yeah, I'd say just approach, I guess, because I don't really have many lefty BP throwers, and I don't remember facing too many good lefties growing up, but I'd say just the approach. They don't really come inside consistently enough, so just think, right-center approach, and if they try and sneak one in, pull it, but I think they stick to one side of the plate more than the righty.
Yeah, for some reason, so we've had a couple preseason games, a couple, regular season games. The first three starting pitchers, Frank, that we saw were all lefties. We don't have a left-handed pitcher in our whole program. We don't have a left-handed coach. So, to be honest, it is a struggle going from everything righty or machine, soft toss, to then all of a sudden a lefty in the game. So I totally agree with what you're saying. They've all stayed away from us, so we're having trouble right now. That's what we worked on today before I got here. Going up the middle, going backside, staying on top of the ball, driving it.
Yeah, no, just have an approach and stick to it. Mm-hmm. And then if he throws it in, just trust the hands that they're going to get there.
There you go.
So we got a little bit of trivia for you, Frank.
Uh-oh. Let's do it.
All right. So it's you play for the Cubs. It's got to be Chicago trivia, right? So we're going to do a little bit of Chicago trivia. So number one, the bean is what people call it, but what's its actual name?
Oh, I have no idea. I visited the Bean with my wife one weekend, and we thought it was cool. We sat at the little cafe across the street, but I have no idea what it means.
It is cool. Any idea what it's called, guys? Anybody know? The technical name. Everybody calls it the Bean, but they call it Cloudgate.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, it's the actual name for it's Cloudgate.
That's
which
the
is the goofiest name you ever heard, but that's what nobody calls it that. Everybody calls it the Bean, but... All right, number two. Everyone knows the building as Sears Tower, and yes, it'll always be Sears Tower, but what's its name now?
Ooh, you're going to have to enlighten me on that one, too.
You got this one, Andy?
I might know it. Is it the Willis Tower?
It is the Willis Tower.
Oh, I got one. Finally. Yep. Wow,
again, nice. Everybody in Chicago calls one the Bean and calls one Sears Tower. They'll never call it Willis Tower, but that's what it is now. Number three, Chicago is known for great food. What do you never ask for on a hot dog?
Say that again. I lost you for a second.
I said Chicago is known for great food. What do you never ask for on a hot dog?
Oh, I heard ketchup, right?
Yeah, I learned that one firsthand. I got kicked out of a place for asking for ketchup.
I heard that when I was in the on-deck circle one day.
Yep, they kicked me out of the place. I didn't know. I'm a Florida boy up there trying to get a hot dog. You know, I heard they were good. And they told me to get my stuff and get out.
Unwritten rule. Yeah, don't piss people off.
Yeah, that's man. Yeah, I did. That's my MO. That's what I do, is make people angry. That is not true, I don't think. So number four, we only got two more. Number four, how many buildings in Chicago stand 1,000 foot or higher?
Oof.
See, I would think this would be
18, because that's my number.
Ooh.
That's a good guess. I would have thought it would have been a very high number too.
Yeah.
Got any guesses, guys? It's actually six.
What?
Six. Wow. Yep, six buildings.
Okay.
That's interesting.
What was the original name of Wrigley Field?
Oh, man. This one might get me in trouble, but I have no idea.
I hope it doesn't get you in trouble. That's not what we're shooting for, Frank. It's Wegman Park.
Mm. Awesome.
Yep.
I have heard that, but I forgot.
What is the name of the park that you will find the Bean / now that we know it's Cloudgate in? What's the name of that park?
Cloudgate Park.
That would be perfect if it was called Cloudgate Park. It would be perfect. That's 100% what it should be, is Cloudgate Park.
What is it?
They call that whole area down there Millennium Park.
Oh.
Yep. It is what it is. It's
well,
all
now I know.
It.
You're teaching me all about my new home.
Have you found your favorite deep dish pizza place yet? That's the real question.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
I'd have to go with Lou Malnati's as the front runner right now.
That is the jam. Yeah.
It's like not the really deep dish, but like the medium thickness. I think it's really good.
The first time I was there in Chicago, I had one of those, and there were some cameras there videotaping me eat a piece of pizza, and
nice.
I nearly died. I nearly died. I ate a piece of pizza. The cheese got stuck in my throat. I felt myself dying on camera. It was the most epic thing ever. If I'd have died on camera eating a piece of pizza in Chicago,
what a way to go!
That would have been epic. Yeah, I would have
been famous.
I would have took it like a boss.
That's funny.
Yeah, I would have took it like a boss. Wow. Like zero shame. Out dead by pizza. Everybody's got their thing, right? I mean, if that's what does me in,
It wasn't your time yet.
Man, what a way to go. Frank, I have one for you if you got time. So
what do you got?
I was born in 80, dude, so I'm an old school baseball fan.
Okay.
What was Andre Dawson, old school number 8 for the Cubs, what was his nickname?
There's got to be
stuff all in the stadium with Andre Dawson.
Is there really?
Oh, yeah. Inside.
You're killing me.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. The Hawk, Andre the Hawk Dawson.
Was it really?
Yeah.
He had a funky
that
batting stance.
Know.
Yeah, look him up, Frank. Look at his old batting stance, man. He'll love it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nobody stands like Andre Dawson anymore. No way.
That's awesome.
That's unique. Well, anybody else got any Frank questions? We're going to stop harassing Frank for a minute.
My boys wanted to know, do you have any pull or any influence on getting the season started this year, Frank?
I have close to no say, but I'm going to trust Hap. He's our rep, and you know, the boys are meeting every single day down in Jupiter right now. You know, we just want what's best for the game moving forward, but we're all ready to go.
I agree with that.
Frank, it means the world to us, buddy, that you were willing to take this time and talk to us. We really do appreciate it.
No, I had a great time. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, buddy. We will catch you the next time. Thank you very much for being here.
Absolutely, guys.
All right,
you
sir.
Have a good one.
You too, buddy.
Thank you, Frank.
Soon. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, guys, that was pretty epic. That literally made that made my day. That probably made my year so far. That was one of the coolest things ever. You know, remember you asked me the first time we were on this podcast who my favorite player was? I'm like, that was not even a challenge. That was that guy right there, Frank Schwindel. You can tell. I mean, to be able to have a conversation, a very humble conversation like that, would tell you all the things. Mm-hmm. It's pretty epic, man. Pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, good guy. So I guess anybody got anything crazy going on this week?
Not yet.
So
it's still young.
March 19th. I have a team now.
You have a team?
Well, I have a team of two. It's me and my buddy Ernie.
That's all you need.
Yep, so me and Ernie Harvey are fixing to bring the trivia pain.
What are you going to call yourselves?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know about the answer to that one.
Come on.
Well, I see you give me a trivia question. That's two questions today that have stumped me. One was, what's my favorite movie? I couldn't come up with what my favorite movie was.
Really? Just say Dumb and Dumber and you're fine. I don't think about that. You don't think about Frank Schwindel, right? It's just for me, Dumb and Dumber. That's easy.
Okay.
It's easy.
Wow.
So it's not yours, obviously, because you're hesitating.
No, yeah. I mean, that probably has a reptile.
Yours probably has a reptile in it.
No, it doesn't. No, I don't do those kind of movies.
Oh.
It's like those kind of TV shows. I can't do that either. I look at it and go, nope, yep, it's not
too
how,
fake
it, not
for
how
you.
It is. Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Entertainment versus real life. Anaconda, snakes on a plane.
Did you ever show them that picture that you showed us after we taped last time?
Of?
Remember you were holding the steak like it was no big deal and we were looking at it afterwards. We said, you should have put that in the video.
Oh, the green water snake. Yeah. It's been one of those days.
When it bit you, remember?
Oh,
well, that's usually
it's
one of those
day,
things, too.
Yeah.
No, my uncle told me that the other day. He's like, you spent your entire career trying not to be bit by animals, and now you're it's okay?
Right.
I'm like, well,
no big deal.
Uncle Bill, you make a very good point. You're right, Uncle Bill. Yeah, he's right. Yeah, because everybody always asks you that. How many alligators have you been bit by? None. How is that possible? God gave me a brain. Thankfully, I'm super happy about that.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes one of us.
I'll share mine with you. What little I have, I'll share.
Perfect.
Does that work?
I need help.
You got games this week?
We have three games this week coming up. Palm Bay, then at Cocoa Beach, and then we return home and play Cocoa Beach.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was at the game on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Ugalde's a good team.
Ugalde's very good.
That is a very, very talented team. I was listening to one of your coaches that I was sitting beside tell me that some of them were like Division
One
recruited players.
Multiple D1 guys going to Florida State. So
that's it. What are you going to do?
Right. You tip your hat.
They have an all-star team. They have an all-star team.
They do.
What are you going to do?
You work harder. That's what we're going to do.
Who was pitching that game?
We pitched Luke Hightower started that.
He was hitting his spots. Mm-hmm. They were hitting the spots that he was hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes it happens. What are you going to do? I am still planning for the event on November the 19th for EARS. So if you guys have a business and want to be a vendor there, I think we have a dozen food trucks signed up now, a handful of vendors. We're looking for sponsors for that event. And for any businesses that want to come be part of it, let us know. We'll be happy to have you. I reckon that's all we have for today. Okay. Super appreciate you guys being here. Oh, I want to give a shout out to Barefoot Insurance. Casey Carroll, he has been helping me with trying to put together the insurance package for this event and for my insurance for the nonprofit for the year. Casey, super appreciate your help with all that. And I guess that's all I got for today. Thank you all, and we will catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.